This episode is brought to you by NordVPN. Listen up, nerds. No. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border and coast to coast and all the ships at sea.
What?
Hello, friends. Do you have a computer? Of course you do, because it's not 1987. Hell, you're listening to this on some kind of computer right now. But do you have a VPN?
Oh,
what's a VPN, you ask? Well, my friend, a VPN is a virtual private network and it offers two key benefits: enhanced privacy and security online. But VPNs do a lot more than that. VPNs shield your IP address, change your browsing location, and make online life easier. It's all about safety and security, my friends. But like everything else in life, it's also about watching TV. Don't let your paid subscriptions go to waste. I use NordVPN to access my home content while I'm traveling. Wink, wink. Plus, secure your connection on public Wi-Fi in airports, hotels, cafes, anywhere you go when you're traveling. There's over 6,300 servers in 111 countries, and you can find a nearby server for the best VPN speeds. NordVPN is easy to use. Connect with one click or enable auto-connect for zero-click protection. And it's got amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there. And with just one NordVPN account, you can use it on 6 devices. It supports every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, macOS, Linux, even Android TV. I think those are all real. Don't miss out on all the awesome benefits for using a VPN. Go to nordvpn.com/ifanboy today for a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. The link's in the show notes. Once again, that's nordvpn.com/ifanboy.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is like a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on, over and over in your mind about it, and like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often, I have found, I am not a therapist, I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it. And sometimes it makes you realize like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things, and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it, work your way through it, figure out coping skills, how to get around it, you know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ifanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/ifanboy.
You're listening to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 120, sponsored by Jim Haley's Universe, Foo Comics, and Triptych Books. Welcome to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode number 120. My name is Ron, and I'm here with
Josh.
Connor.
Hey, and we're from iFanboy.com, the newly christened iFanboy.com, the good ship iFanboy.com, and that's where we like to talk about comics. We read comics, we talk about them there on the site. Every week we read the stack of comics that come out, and one of us picks the best one of the week, and we deem it the pick of the week, the captain pick of the week of the good ship iFanboy, and then we come here on this podcast and talk about it. But just to warn you, we're going to be talking about the comics that came out this past week. So if you haven't read your comics, we might ruin them for you or spoil them, as the netiquette says. So if you haven't read your comics, press pause and come back after you read your comics, so you can take part in the fun. But before we get into the pick of the week, we thought we'd take some time to address some changes on the Good Ship iFanboy.
Kill that metaphor.
Okay, sorry. Well, and before we get into this, some of you might have heard this already last week on last week's show. And we hope you enjoyed that. And bear with us as we talk about it now. So what happened, guys?
Apparently, I don't even know anymore.
Apparently, it's much more difficult than we had estimated.
This web
completely create a website from scratch and then make it work.
This web,
and then have all sorts of people want to use it.
This web thing isn't as easy as it seems. That's what we're learning. So, but yeah, no. So we what day was it? Monday, Tuesday?
We launched it Tuesday, early Tuesday.
Early Tuesday morning, we launched iFanboy version 3.0, the third version of our wonderful site. Complete brand new look and feel. Looks totally different. Should be a little easier to use and to find our information and that sort of thing. But
will be very shortly.
Yeah. but also we added a whole section dedicated to the week's comics. So now you can come to iFanboy, you can register, create an account, and not only can you read and comment on the great content that we have, like our new columns by Jonathan Hickman and Paul Dini, as well as, you know, me, Connor, Josh writing, Gordon the intern writing, but now you could also go to ifanboy.com/comics and you could pick the comics you're going to buy each week, and then you can come back after Wednesday and you can rate them and review them and see what other people talked about. And it's been, I mean, I've been super psyched about the new site. I mean, are you guys?
Can I totally just say that, like, reading other people's reviews and seeing the ratings and seeing the polls, it's fascinating.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, like, and people are writing great reviews. I mean, the thing is, the site before was like, we would write a review once a week,
yep.
You know, and now there's so much other information there for people who want to know, you know, about the books, and each issue has its own conversation and thread about it. And each of those reviews can too. It's I've loved it.
Yeah.
I hope more people write more.
Yeah, it's been amazing just to see the discussion about each comic happening on the thread for that comic, and then to see all the, you know, the people from the iFan base writing their own reviews, which is just awesome, you know. So
and then before I went to the store, I exported my list and printed it.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this is really useful, like, to me. And so I'm not pitching it. I was like, I love this. This is great.
Yeah, I mean, I think it came out great. And it, admittedly, there are some bugs, and we're working on them. And we need to thank a new member to the iFanboy team, Dave, who did a lot of the coding and the majority of the coding. And he's did a bang up job, and he's been working on the bugs, and he deserves a pat on the back from the iFanboy Nation. So so definitely, without him, this wouldn't have happened. So so thank you, Dave.
And so if you haven't been yet, you're all curious. Ron mentioned briefly we've got a couple of new features along with the comics section. We have a weekly column from Paul Dini, who's a writer you will know from Batman the Animated Series and from Countdown and Detective Comics and all kinds of things. We also have every Thursday, and every other Wednesday there's a column from Jonathan Hickman, who wrote the Nightly News and is writing Pax Romana. He's got a couple other books coming out. And those
really,
really, yeah, he's really a big soccer fan, and those have been really interesting. I thought the first two were great. In addition to those two, we have, which we'll be talking about later in this show, is the new Book of the Month feature, which...
Yep.
In addition to the weekly pick of the week that we've been doing for 7 years or 8 years, we are now going to pick a trade paperback or an omnibus or any kind of collected edition every month. Will be the Book of the Month, and then we'll talk about it on the podcast that particular week, and we're going to talk about Josh's first Book of the Month pick this week a little bit later in the show. But those are some of the new things we've got going. We're going to add some new functionality later on. As we go, but that's what you can go check out ifanboy.com. We got a lot of stuff to look at.
Yeah, by no means are we done. By no means are we stopping. So you definitely got to keep coming to iFanboy and check out the new stuff as it rolls out. We'll announce it as it happens. But so seriously, if you listen to the show, if you like what we're talking about comics and you want to take part in the conversation and you want to get involved, go to ifanboy.com. In the upper left-hand corner, you can hit register and you can create an account. It's super easy. And then you can start pulling your comics and you can get involved. And you'll see how we're gonna integrate that a little into the show too. So you know, if you want to be involved in the podcast, this is a great way to be involved. So definitely
have more announcements planned for the future.
Yes, we do. Yes, like we said, we've been promising for the past year that, you know, all your donations and your support of us and all our advertiser support is going to pay off. And 2008's the year of iFanboy. It's 2008. It's 2008, right?
Yes. Okay. In fact, Josh, we have Josh, Ron and I have an announcement to make on this show.
Yes.
Josh, you're out.
Yep, sorry. That's the other change we're doing.
You decided to do it live?
Yep.
There's got to be some sort of FCC rule about that.
But we figured we'd let you have one last pick before you go out the door. So why don't we get to the pick?
before we bring Tom Caters in, Josh had the pick of the week this week. Josh, take it away.
Yeah. Me and Scotty Young are going to do a show. How about that? It's just us arguing.
All right, go.
My pick this week was Green Arrow and Black Canary number 5.
It's important to note that this book received 180 pulls on iFanboy.
Oh, God, we're doing that.
it was the number 4 book, according to iFanboy.com.
So formulaic. I've got to say that, obviously, I had resisted buying this book, not because I thought it was bad. I was just like, no, you know, I'm not buying everything.
Because you're a grump.
So much room for input. And
yes, but you keep saying you want good comics. We always tell you about good comics, and you always say,
I can't buy another one.
And then 4 months later, you start picking it up.
Oh, no harm, no foul. And then I get to do this, and it gives me show content. What's your problem, dude? Last month, I had gone out. I was in this shop looking for my books, and it was kind of light, and they had number 4 had just come out, and then behind it they had number 3 and number 1. They missed 2, but I skipped it. I was fine. And I read through them, and, you know, I was in tears by the end of 4, so I was like, that was really good. So it came out this week, and there's a lot of books that I was looking forward to this week. So
this is a ridiculous week, by the way. I had like 23 books. It was awful. Yeah.
But honestly, it was not a tough choice for me. And that is because Jed Winnick here is just – he's just hit his stride. I mean, he's just rolling. And each book is written really well in issue form. I mean, you get to the end and you want more so badly. Like, I want the next issue, but it's really fun for me to read in issues. And then furthermore, I was saying that I think, and I'm not sure, with the possible exception of maybe Robin, I think Ollie Queen is probably my favorite character in the DC Universe these days. And I'd say it's one of those two.
He's been this good for years. The whole Judd Winnick run has been...
No, I know. I mean, I know.
It's better and better, but he's been, for me, one of the best characters in the DCU for a couple of years now.
Mm-hmm. And there was a fill-in artist on this issue, which is normally the tolling of doom. And granted, it was not Amanda Connor as advertised on the cover for the solicitations.
That was a gut punch.
But, you know, it did the trick. This guy, Coelho?
It wasn't nearly as good as Cliff Chang.
No, it wasn't.
And for me, I mean, like, the story was really, really good, but this wouldn't have been my pick, only because the step back in the art was too much for me to handle. Like, it was just, I don't know, after having 4 issues of Cliff Chang fantasticness, to go down to this really, I think, hurt the book more than helped it. So
I think that it still managed to maintain the look and feel and pacing of the Cliff Chang stuff. Like, the way that the panels were laid out and sort of the very clean drawings and things like that. I thought the storytelling in it was very good, for the most part. I thought some of the character designs, you know, were kind of silly, but they were going to the past, so it doesn't matter. One of the other things I liked is that there was a lot of flashback in this book, and for me, I'm not a huge... I don't know a whole hell of a lot about Ollie Queen's past, but I thought it was a very succinct way of, you know, summing up a lot of the stuff that happened and why things are they aren't like they are now. I'd say if I had any complaints about this book, there is a bit where you know, Ollie is sitting at Connor's bed. Who, and by the way, every shot of Connor, by the way, that you spell with 2 N's as opposed to our Connor, 1 N. every shot of him is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or it could be comedic if you're completely heartless, but because he's just like eyes open, mouth drooped open, like looks like in a state of shock. But Dinah comes in and is like and wants to get married to Ollie again. And I was like, wow, he sort of agreed to that awful fast, and then he was happy.
I thought that was well done. The whole marriage approach and keeping it quiet and all that kind of stuff. But
yeah, no.
But I do got to admit that, like, it's funny because I love and hate what Winnick is doing with this, with every issue ending with the cliffhanger.
Yeah.
You know, and it just like and like I love it because I'm like, but I hate it because it's like I just can't take this roller coaster. You know,
the thing about the book is that it really keeps you, I don't want to say this, on the edge of your seat. But I mean, it really, like, it's very soap operatic.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
I mean, it very much so. It's almost melodramatic. Like, it's really
it's
straight for your heartstrings kind of thing. And
could it be a comic book?
It is. I think it's a very classic sense, a traditional comic book, in that every issue is like, you know, it's decompressed like a modern comic book, but you know, there isn't a hell of a lot of action in it either, so I can understand where people wouldn't really like that.
Did you see the cover for next week's issue on the last page of the book?
Coming out next week?
I can't. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Next month's issue. The next issue. I'm sorry. It's a shot of Black Canary on a motorcycle and Ollie on the back of the motorcycle shooting his bow. It's just like.
Standing.
I know. It's awesome.
The only thing I said this to Connor, I was like, it basically. The basic plot is that Connor is still in a coma, and while they're away. Clearly, Black Canary is a Skrull, by the way. While they're away. Connor's body is stolen, and the last panel of the book, and I'm not ruining this for anybody, because if you were to read it, it would still have the same effect, and it's maybe the greatest panel I've read in a good long time. He just like turns to the camera and he's like, "Give me my damn bow," and you're like, "Yes!" You're throwing your fist up in the air, but like the thing is, they don't have any clues. Yeah. So who's he gonna go shoot?
Everyone.
Like, get the no. That's what Connor's like. He'll hit everyone. It's fine.
Indiscriminately, just shooting. I really like this. I think this is easily the best book of the week. I think any comic that can elicit an emotional response from you is a good one. And this is this has been doing that almost the entire way through. I love that they did a nod back to the Green Arrow Year One. They've brought that into the fold of the story.
Yep.
I like they showed that Ollie was a complete jackass even when he came back from the before when he first met Connor's mother, he was a complete jackass. And that's it's always good to show that your hero has had a journey. What I find really interesting is nothing to do with this book is that the iFanboy community, because we're not the only ones that love this book, seems to be the only community in the net that seems to like this book. Everyone else seems to hate it, but that's fine with me. I don't mind being in the minority.
There were a few comments in the thread that said, you know, like, I get this book's okay, but I don't love it. You know, maybe it's just not for those people, but I didn't get anyone to be like, this is terrible. Why would you like it? You know, but I guess that's what you're saying.
Other people that hate it. I think the characterization is obviously spot on. I love the fact that he brings in all the other communities, and it feels like it's a whole big superhero family.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I don't think this. Traditionally, Batman and Green Arrow have had a sort of friendship role that hasn't been played up enough, I think, and I like the fact that he keeps popping up in this book because they are super similar, and not just from the backgrounds of the main characters, but they've got their sidekicks and the whole non-powered role. I like that he keeps showing up. That's good. I like that Hal keeps showing up. That's also good. I was disappointed by the art. I was disappointed that it wasn't Amanda Connor filling in, but I thought this guy did a good job. Only problem I had was I thought Dr. Midnight was Red Robin for a second.
Right, yeah.
What is he doing here? But I love this. I mean, this like Josh said, the ending is, he amped up the pacing. You start racing to the last page. You get to the last page. You go, yeah! I don't know what I'm yanging, but it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. It wouldn't have been my pick, but it was good. Well, purely only because of the volume that I had and there was other stuff. But it's just a consistently good. You know, it's one of the best comics I'm reading right now. Cliff Chang, come back, please.
Well, I think he, from what I see, he needs like a month off after four or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
Which is fine, as long as it's still an arc.
Yeah, fine.
Yeah,
you know, he had a lot of nice pages. The Superman page with the wedding.
Yeah,
it was a nice page. The page with the third page where they're in the bed, or when Connor's in the bed, and it's sort of from overhead. You know, he told the story.
All right, cool.
Jeez.
So speaking of story, New Avengers number 38. Whew.
Drink if Miss Marvel lets the Avengers go.
How about 22 pages of an argument between a couple that's really sort of painful and awful because you like both of them?
Oh, God.
It's like watching your parents fight. It's just...
Well, it's important to know this was the number one book that was pulled on the site this week, which I thought was really interesting. So this is the issue where... Jessica Jones has now, she's taken the baby and went to Avengers Tower to register and to protect her baby. And Luke figures it out, and they have a huge argument from the phone and on the street. And then Miss Marvel comes and lets Luke go again.
Again.
Again. This is, what, the third time, fourth time?
In the last three issues in a row.
Yeah, exactly.
I know what, I was... we should note that this is the Michael Gatos does the art. This is the return of the Alias creative team for a Jessica Jones centric issue. That was beautiful. It was excellently crafted. It was well done, written, and story-wise. I didn't like this simply because now I find myself disliking Jessica Jones.
Yeah, well.
I mean, she's dropped down like 4 or 5 notches in my book because of what she did this. Which is, you know, great story-wise. I just had a real affection for the character, and now that a lot of that has been washed away by this issue.
That's sort of similar to the loss of affection that a lot of people have had for Tony Stark.
Yeah. Similar. Yeah.
Interesting. So. See, because I would have said, like, I don't like the choice she made, I guess, for her, but I completely understand it. Right. And I think that it's justified from a character standpoint. I mean, to me, it seemed completely realistic. The other thing that I thought seemed completely realistic about this is that, you know, I've got this must be based on some real conversations the dude's had with his wife. Because there are certain things in relationships that happen where you get to an impasse and it's really hard to come up with a solution for it. You know, but that seemed very realistic to me. And it really, like, I don't know what the best course of action for all these people should be.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I could take that leap. I think it was very realistic. I think it was very well scripted. But
it was rooted in like it felt like a real.
Oh yeah. Well, what I thought was really interesting was that this was a real kind of family drama that happens to take place amongst people who are superheroes. Yes. You know, and like the thing is that if Ms. Marvel and the Mighty Avengers didn't show up, like and it was just them arguing this whole thing, like that issue. I mean, that it would have been Alias, basically.
pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I thought it was. I thought it was good. I thought it was really, really good. It was just painful. It was a punch in the gut. I wonder if this could have been the annual. That's just me, though. I am.
It would be a good. I think it would be a good one shot out of the regular series thing, but I don't think it's an annual.
Yeah, yeah.
But, this is a story he's telling, though. This is like
Yeah.
I thought the stuff with the rest of the team with the apartment with Danny Rand was really funny.
Yeah.
I noticed that Hawkeye's getting his snarky back.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
I'd like him to be out of this dumb costume, though.
Yeah.
I'm going down on record for that. Also, Natasha's hair is weird.
Yes, yeah, that was weird. I think that was more Gatiss than
well, that's Gatiss. I mean, she's got long flowing hair in Captain America. It's just a big problem. Yeah.
She looks like a German swimmer in this one.
Yeah.
So they've closed at the end of the end of the issue closed up on the baby's eyes again, which...
Yeah. Baby's a Skrull.
They're either fucking with us or... Something, or she's a Skrull. Jessica and the baby are Skrulls.
Yeah. Oh God. Anyway.
I don't know. It was. I had mixed feelings with this. I really, really liked it. On one hand, on the other hand, I really, really didn't like it. So
that's basically why. Like, I did think.
Which
about
is why
this
it was such a good writing. I mean, that's. But at the same time, it soured my. Like, she's off my top 7 team now. The team that I picked last week, she's done. So.
Wow. She's out.
One decision with Connor, and you are.
You're out. So, cool, yeah. Well, and another big release for Marvel was Fantastic Four, number 554.
This one snuck up on me. I didn't realize this was coming out this week.
Yeah.
I didn't either.
Yep.
So what'd you think, guys?
I don't know.
This is the big, let's just quickly tell people what it is. It's Mark Millar and Brian Hitch, the team from Ultimates, taking over the Marvel U Fantastic Four team. So this is what it is.
And this also marks the approach of trying to bring back Fantastic Four as the world's greatest comic magazine, not actually comic book type thing. So we got the
One thing they did we can tell from our website is they brought a lot of people back to it.
Yeah, I mean,
this was like the top number 3 most pulled book of the week.
Yeah,
I mean,
totally.
When Fantastic Four hasn't been a top selling book in forever,
and people have liked it.
I really
loved it.
Yeah, I really liked it too. I thought it was really interesting. I thought it was interesting because it seems like, and I'm coming off of finally reading the Wade Waringo run, which is a similar kind of a big team coming on and like the same kind of introduction where it's like, okay, we're forgetting about the previous issue and we're just picking up from some wacky adventure and, you know, and something's going on with the Human Torch doing something irresponsible and it had all the hallmarks of the good Fantastic Four, but it felt more, to me, it just felt more modern. And I thought less from the story wise and more from the art and the approach to it. Did you notice there are no black borders?
Yeah,
it's all white borders. Yeah, which I thought was really interesting and like almost very, you know, like I don't know. I mean, I don't
like
know.
Like a magazine layout more.
Yeah, almost. Yeah, you know. And so it just felt very different and it felt really engaging to me. So I don't know.
I like that it started off with big crazy science idea and that sort of went through the whole book. And Fantastic Four should be about big crazy science ideas.
Yep.
It should be more of a science fiction book than anything else. I like that the team, the dynamics were good. I know some people didn't like the fact that Johnny Storm seems to be from the movie, but I didn't really care. I like that. I don't really read the book, so
part of the movie.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
I love the, you know, this is the perfect book for Brian Hitch to draw huge, sprawling two-page science spreads of lots of machines. There was that one shot of the new Earth.
Yep.
Which is a double spread that was just fantastic. And I think I'm really excited for this. I always want to like the Fantastic Four. I always try them out whenever a big team jumps on. I always get bored with it eventually, but I really am engaged in this one. I'm really looking forward to the next one. I really was happy about this.
Yep. Cool.
It to me felt like the Fantastic Four, which is sort of a team I've kind of never been interested in.
Yeah.
So, I mean, while I think it was good, I don't think I'm going to read it because, I don't know, I just don't care.
But you hate science.
So we'll tune back in 4 issues when you pick it back up.
Well, you know what? This is a very traditional comic book in the sense of, you know, like the subject matter and the thing, and a lot of people really like that, but this is very opposite of the stuff we just talked about, New Avengers and, Black Canary, Green Arrow, which are very modern in their subject matter because it's basically relationships and people talking with each other, and whereas this is like the big concept, blow you away with a page kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which is never that's totally fine. That's what it is, though. You know, like, and I'm not really so into that from a...
Yeah. All right. Well,
and also, Miller, he always disappoints me. I don't. there's been a few things that I liked, but as a whole... I also find I don't like his stuff when I read it in issues because he's very like showy, I guess. Like he's trying to do big things on all the pages and it comes off to me as trying too hard a lot of times. But a lot of people like him. I just never do.
Right. All right. Well, we got a lot to get through, so let's press on. So my pick of the week would have been Fantastic Comics number 24 from Image Comics. And did either of you guys heard of the Next Issue Project from Image? Yeah. Do you know what they're doing here?
Yes.
And so basically what it is that they found a bunch of Golden Age comics that were in the public domain and basically never – like the series stopped. So for example, Fantastic Comics in the 40s stopped at issue number 23. So what they did was they got a bunch of modern day creators and basically did the next issue of that line of comics, which is a pretty cool idea. So Fantastic Comics number 24, it's $5.99. But it's 64 pages. There are 9 stories in the book, and it's actually oversized. It's the size of, like, remember when 8-Ball was coming out kind of oversized?
Yep.
A few years ago, yeah. So it's that size. The lead story is a Samson story by Eric Larson. Then there's a story by Joe Casey and Bill Sienkiewicz. Exactly. Then there's a very Prince Caspian-esque story by – I forget the name of the creator – by Thomas Yeats. Ashley Wood did a story. B. Clay Moore wrote a prose story. Tom Scioli from Godland, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, did a kind of sci-fi story. Fred Hembeck did 2 pages. I mean, like, it's just like, you know, name after name after name. Jim Rugg did a fantastic Captain Kidd. Kind of like, do you remember those historical kind of, you know, realistic comics from the 40s, you know?
Jim Rugg did...
The Plain Janes.
Plain James with Cecil Castellucci from
Yes, yeah,
right,
exactly. So, so this was just as Mike Allred and Joe Keating did a story. It was just like, you know, like it's just 9 pack stories by great creators, and it was just for me. It was the most fun I had reading a book this week. It took me maybe about a couple hours to get through it all, like just because I was absorbing every page. I read it twice already. Like it was just, I mean, admittedly, you've got to have an affection for Golden Age comics and affection for comic books in general. But yeah, it was just, I mean, this is the first one out of the gate. They're going to do a bunch more of these issues, and if this is the indication of what it's going to be like, then I'm on board for every one because they just look so much fun. So. Yeah, so I don't know. So
it's really like a return to anthology comics.
Yeah, well, yeah. So it's a return to anthology comics, but like because I don't know a fantastic because also if you in the Golden Age, a lot of the stories were a lot shorter. Mm-hmm. You know, they were only like 8 pages or 12 pages or whatever.
Issues very often stored anthologies.
Yeah, exactly. So it's similar. Yeah, so it's carrying that through. And honestly, it covers the gamut of, like, you know, like I said, like a Prince Caspian kind of fantasy story to a science fiction story to a realistic kind of adventurer story. You know, the Samson story is somewhat, you know, superhero-y of the 40s, at least, where it's this guy named Samson, big, long, flowing blonde hair, and his sidekick gets taken away from him and put into a school and in an orphanage, and then they get attacked, and the sidekick comes and saves the day, and Samson gets to adopt him. You know, like, it's very kind of kitschy kind of 40s kind of thing, but it works. And they really took attention to the detail in the production too. Like, there are printing errors, you know, like sometimes the color shifts a little, so it's a little off, so it really looks like it's from the 40s. The paper stock is really heavy, which I don't think is a indication of the 40s, but it just it really makes this, you know, like a, it feels like a special book. And they've interspersed a bunch of old ads from the old comics, so I don't know, it's for, as a comic lover, this is a lot of fun to read. So if you saw it and you didn't know what it was, I would go check it out. So that was my pick of the week, baby.
It seems like every time Booster Gold comes out, we talk about it.
It's true.
It's because it's awesome.
It's totally awesome. So this was the Booster Gold issue number 0, which is supposed to be a Zero Crisis tie-in, which it is, but I really was hoping for the Zero Hour. I was really hoping for the 0 Hour cover treatment, but I guess they couldn't go that far.
So I thought, Ron, you'd be excited for this because it's like pure Booster Gold Blue Beetle action.
Oh yeah, it was great. It was awesome.
They're clearly setting us up for a horrible punch in the stomach when this all is over.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, this is part one of probably 4 or whatever it's going to be, and you know Booster Blue Beetle's still around. They've got he's fully teamed up with Booster Gold now, and now it's just going to be awful when it ends.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of those things I wish they just hadn't brought him back.
it's going to hurt a lot.
but in this one, you know, they more time stream adventures. They're with all the Blue Beetles. There's clearly something interesting must be happening with this future Blue Beetle. He must be somebody we know.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a descendant of somebody we know.
It's just too mysterious. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But they go into the future there's a lot of heartbreak in this book, and you can just see it under the surface. And they try, you know, you get to watch Booster Gold screw up his life, but he does and he doesn't because it leads him to become Booster Gold. So it's like, it's tough. They fight Hal Jordan when he was evil. This is like everything good and fun about Big Adventure Comics is in this comic here, yeah. And it just combines Geoff Johns, a master of being able to take desperate continuity things and throw them all together into a story that makes sense,
which is amazing.
he's honestly an idiot savant in that sense. Yeah. Because he's the only guy who can do it, and he doesn't really make it look that hard.
Yeah,
no, it's astounding. You wonder why other people can't do it simply because he must be the only one. But
yeah,
yeah,
cool.
And Dan Jurgens is getting better, I think, with every issue.
Really,
I don't know. Maybe he was just out of practice.
Well, I mean the art is being finished by Norm Rapman, so I don't know what the balance between the two is, like, what, you know, whether it's Rapman's presence or not, you know. But yeah, it's amazing. The art is
getting better with every issue. Yep, so
over the last few years, every time I saw Jurgens' art, it seemed to be like looser and looser, like he was just kind of putting less effort into it.
Yeah, and this is really tight.
So maybe here he's like, maybe he's energized, you know, before it was work, and now he's like, you know what, let's do a good
book. He's on a pretty big book, he's on a well-received book, he's writing drawing a character he created, so.
Yep. Pure speculation on my part.
Absolutely.
Purely.
So you're on the website, ifanboy.com, and you print out your list of the comics that you want for the week, and you want to go to a shop. If you're in New York City, you could do worse than to go to Jim Hanley's Universe. It's one of the most... good comic books, best or progressive, in anywhere. But they've got the best selection of comic titles and related merchandise, toys, statues, t-shirts, just can everything. They have it all. So if you're in New York City, you must go there. And then if you're on Staten Island, because you just missed New York City, you could go to their store at 325 New Dorp Lane. Or if you're in Manhattan, it's just south of the Empire State Building on 33rd Street between 5th and 6th. If you get there, let them know that iFanboy sent you, and that you appreciate them sponsoring the show, because we certainly do, because they've helped make a lot of this stuff possible. Yep. You can visit their website at jhuniverse.com or MySpace / Jim Hanley's Universe. That's where art and literature meet, and we want to thank them again for all their support.
Yay. So
Astro City, the beauty special, was creepy.
So it was funny because there was a bit of a debate in the iFanboy offices earlier in the week, because Connor thought this was was there an Astro City series? Did I miss an issue or something? And so,
because it was Marcus number 2,
right? Yeah, it was because I think it's the second special they've done like
yeah,
this.
I figured that out when I got to the store. So
yeah,
there's nothing on the cover about it being a number 2.
Yeah, no, but it's an oversized issue. It was at least 48 pages, if not more, right? I mean, it was thick. It's a thick one. I love Astro City, and I love that they're, you know, the background of Astro City allows them to do things like this, where they can do like the story arcs like they've been doing, or they can just focus on one character from the great, you know, kind of tapestry of characters that B6 created. And this one focused on the Barbie looking like superheroine called Beauty. And it was creepy, but it was good. I loved it. It was great. I thought it was really, really good. These Astro City never disappoints in my book. So
I actually would say that this is probably my least favorite Astro City story in a while. I like the
concept. Way better than Minis.
Yeah, it's been better than the Dark Age. Yeah, yeah.
Part of that, I don't think the writing was bad. I don't know what's going. Remember, we were just talking about Dan Juergens.
Yeah.
I feel like Brent Anderson is really like either rushed through this or something. But I think there's some really not great art in this. And maybe I don't know why, but there was just I didn't love that part of it. I thought the flashback parts were really nice looking, the sort of sketchy pencil-y things.
Yeah.
I do think that like there were some really great lines in it, like the thing where when men approach her and she says, "I have ferrous aluminum skin," whatever.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. No genitalia.
No, it's good. It makes me wish that I know what you're saying, because I haven't loved those sort of long arcs, the Dark Age things. But either way, I wish that they would just get back to just do it straight in order, make this Astro City 42 and 43.
Well, I think the schedule is the problem there. So
no, I know that, but
people are more willing to wait on another mini than they are to wait for the next issue of a miniseries to take. Yeah. You know.
Yeah. Because trust me, when they were doing it in issues, and then they hit the dip in the early 2000s when Busick got sick. Remember how like painful it was waiting for the next issue? You know.
Yeah,
so I don't know. But
anyway, big week for Jason Aaron.
Yeah, huge.
The critically acclaimed and fanboy writer, favorite writer of Scalped, had two issues out this week, Wolverine 62 and Ghost Rider 20. And last week on the show, I said there was no way I was buying Ghost Rider, and then I bought Ghost Rider.
And so are you going to continue to buy Ghost Rider?
Yes. Ghost Rider, they were both really good. Wolverine, I thought... I don't know. I can't even pick a better one. Wolverine was really good because of the Ron Garney art.
Yeah.
And because I totally... was fooled by the twist that everybody seemed to be fooled by, except for probably Ron. but I totally bought into the middle part that's supposed to throw the reader off. I totally did. And I was like, what? That's not good. I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
And then Ghost Rider was kind of like a straight up sort of horror book with the elements of supernatural thrown into it. Kind of like, it's almost like a Vertigo book in terms of bad, evil angels and Johnny Blaze going to go after fighting angels, and it was really, really good.
I actually really liked the art in Ghost Rider a lot.
Really?
Yeah, I really did. I mean, at first I was like, "Oh, I don't know about this," but by the end of the issue, I was like, "Wow, I really like this. I'm really digging it." So, cool.
Ghost Rider felt like a Vertigo book. I don't know why.
It felt to me like a very classic comic book it felt like a 70s comic book, but with like slightly updated sensibilities, I guess.
Yeah.
To me. I thought they were both really well done. I will probably keep reading Wolverine. I'm not terribly interested in reading Ghost Rider, but I thought they were both really good.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
You know, Ron Garney's art was fantastic.
It was great, Ron Garney. Oh, it was so good. So, yeah. I love the historical aspect. Whenever they go in the flashbacks and they show, you know, and like the history of characters. And the thing is that like what he did in Wolverine fit in with what's been going on and made reference to it, but it also stands on its own. So, yeah. So
I should say, I haven't been following either of these books or know anything about either of their characters, and they're both completely good jumping on points. So if you're curious, probably a really good place to start.
Yeah. A good place not to start would be X-Force number one.
I heard that was awful.
Oh my god, I was screaming while I was reading it. I was literally screaming. Well, because number one was that I mean, I don't know, say what you will, Clayton Crane, I do not need his art ever again to cross my eyes ever again. I don't like the style. I don't like the way the painted look. I just don't like it. He also does a really annoying thing with Wolverine's mask where it like kind of cuts in. Like, I don't know, it's just weird. But it just was, I mean, and little things, and like, I know it's a nitpick, but like, you know, they had Warpath burying Caliban. I need a picture of him with Cable and Caliban and Richter and stuff like from the X-Force days. And it was the Caliban, how Caliban recently looked, not how he looked like when he was on that team. because he was visually affected by Mask and then by Apocalypse and stuff like that. The character has evolved, so it's like, to me, that's just like laziness continuity wise. I know, say what you will about continuity, but for me, that just set me off. But
no, I mean, if you're gonna be flashing back, the character should look right.
Right, and it looked wrong. And then the other thing was that a lot of the characterizations were just. I mean, from Cyclops to Wolverine to Warpath to, you know, like, it just didn't feel right. I know what they're trying to do with, like, this, you know, kind of dark ops, X-Force, you know, kind of, you know, wet works kind of team, but, like, I just don't like the tone, and I don't like the approach. It's not what, you know, yeah, it's not what I like about the X-Men, so, you know, you could be proactive, but you don't have to be, you know, kind of, you know, killers, basically.
So. Who were the writers?
It's the new X-Men team. It's Craig Kyle and Chris Yost. Who normally do pretty good, but this is just so off the mark, it wasn't even funny. So, it's not even funny. But what was
very serious business.
Yeah, but what was on the mark was Captain Marvel number 3, which I'm still loving this series. Lee Weeks.
Wasn't there a big reveal in this one?
There was a huge reveal at the end. Well, basically what happens is that the whole issue is kind of hinged around a moment when Captain Marvel and Tony Stark are attacked by what seems like Kree warriors, but turns out they're all Skrulls. And so then, for some reason, Captain Marvel goes into the the Negative Zone prison to question Cobalt Man, and he starts yelling at him because Captain Marvel now is sniffing out this Skrull kind of invasion, and he's yelling at Cobalt Man saying, "You're not Cobalt Man." He's like, "You're a Skrull," you know, and Cobalt Man's laughing at him. And Cobalt Man just starts laughing, and he says, "You know, like he's like, you tell me what's going on." And Cobalt Man says, "You tell me. You're a big part of the plan, after all." And then Cobalt Man turns into a Skrull and says, "And you're not Captain Marvel."
That's page.
So he's a Skrull.
Yeah. So that's what the insinuation is. So we'll see what happens. But it was a big. It was any time. Now it's the point where anytime you, it's very similar to Battlestar Galactica, where anytime you see a Skrull, you go, "Oh shit!" You know, like yeah. So it's. I don't know. It was a lot of fun. It was really good.
Wonder how long that's going to be fun.
Yeah.
So. Eventually, there's going to be too many threads to follow. But I appreciate your Captain Marvel. I'm fine with the short synopsis from you.
Yeah, here. That's fine. Yeah, no, and the art is beautiful. Lee Weeks and Stefano Guadagnino are doing great on the art, so it's really good. So
this was a big Marvel week.
Yeah.
A lot of big Marvel books this week.
Yeah.
And listen, like, that's all the books that we're talking about on the show this week, but there's now a lot more reviews. We wrote some reviews for stuff that we didn't get to cover on the show.
Yep.
Other people are writing reviews, so if there's more books that you want about, check, go to the site. Go there. We can't recommend more.
Go to ifanboy.com. And also, so you go to ifanboy.com, you can do your pull list or whatever. There's also a great another website that that friends of the show called foocomics.com. Which is a website that allows stores to kind of manage their subscriptions and things like that. It's a great companion piece to what we've been doing on ifanboy.com. So if you want to help your store owner kind of manage their subscriptions and orders and that sort of thing, tell them to go over to foocomics.com/ifanboy. It's completely free. It was done by a comic collector, so he kind of knows what stores are looking for and what he would want out of it. And it's a great way to kind of manage your subscription. You know, so you come to ifanboy, do your pulls, create your pull list, and then, you know, have your store owner use foocomics to kind of manage their orders. So head over to foocomics.com/ifanboy, and we thank them for their support.
Very much so. And now the inaugural book of the month feature. I believe it's time
for. Are we gonna have theme music or?
No.
Okay.
I mean, unless one of you like to mouth something.
No.
So I had the first call, and I went with Godland Celestial Edition, Book One. Godland is a book that I had meant to check out for a long time in issues, and I didn't get to. And then I did read through the first trade, and I kind of liked it. I just was like, it was in the middle of a bunch of stuff, and I was kind of reading through it. And I liked it, but it kind of dropped away, and then I found myself wanting to read the book again, and this beautiful book comes out. The actual edition.
I'm telling you, the any way to get any of us to read a book is to reprint it oversized.
Yep. and it, like, there's certain books that really, really lend themselves to this kind of production, yeah. And this is definitely one of them.
What is it? What does it encapsulate? This big size version.
It's basically the first season. He does it in seasons. He takes a little time off. When I say he, the creators are Joe Casey writing and Tom Scioli drawing, doing the art. And the first season was 12 issues. So this is basically the first sort of, you get introduced to Adam Archer, who is a cosmic powered superhero. He was an astronaut on Mars, and he and everyone else was killed, and he ended up imbued with this power. And it's just, I mean, like, that is such a simple explanation and doesn't even cover what the hell this book is. Because it is crazy. Basically, this is a return to the really out there cosmic fantasy kind of 60s Marvel Comics, Jack Kirby.
It, it so looks like it. I haven't read it, but the pages you posted on the review, I was like, you know, it's basically Jack Kirby style comics.
You know, it really is. And I, if you'll remember, a long time ago, I poked some fun at Joe about that. but I don't mean it, because this was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I knew this book existed. I admittedly, I dismissed it as the, oh, just doing the Kirby thing or whatever. And then actually, Josh, you got it for me for Christmas after you read it and said it was great and said I needed to read it. And I started reading it, and I just couldn't put it down. I thought it flowed so well. I thought the Kirby style is a style, and Tom, and especially after seeing Tom Scioli's work in Fantastic Comics this week, that's not how he draws. He's drawing in that style, so he's, you know, making the fingers a little more square, and he's doing that kind of thing. But it all works. The Kirby dots are there. The big kind of cosmic kind of, you know, big, you know, mallets and machines and all that kind of stuff are there. And but it also has this weird Joe Casey wit to it, you know,
a little cynicism.
Yeah, a little cynicism and a little kind of self-awareness and a little kind of, you know, like, I mean, poking fun at while he's doing it. And like, I don't know, there's something about it that just feels really special. And like, also what I thought is that it was written in issues and collected in this volume. I thought it read great in the individual issues as chapters.
Yes,
I didn't, yeah, I thought that, so like, I'm gonna start buying this in issue form. It was a blast to read. And it was funny because I was talking about it to a friend of mine, and he's convinced that Joe must be tripping on acid every time he writes it, because it's just so far out there, you know. But it's a great book, and it's a great book to have in this huge hardcover edition. So yeah,
it's actually kind of hard to explain, because there's a thing there that, like, on the surface it's a superhero comic book. And then on another surface, it's sort of like a nostalgia book, but it's none of these things.
Yep.
It's a combination of all of these different things. And what I'm realizing is, I wrote this in my written review, which was probably going to go in a little more detail than this will, is that what I'm seeing from Joe Casey a lot is that he does nostalgia books that aren't bad.
Right. Well, they're like nostalgia books with a modern sensibility.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, so if you look at, we were talking about Earth's Mightiest Heroes, the Avengers series that he did last year, which was like the best of late 70s, early 80s Avengers. And it was all the things that were good about that, but none of the things that make that into a, an anachronism.
Yep.
And then now he's got Iron Man Enter the Mandarin going on, which is like classic Iron Man.
The most fun Iron Man book I've read in forever.
Easily.
Ever.
Again, with, like, he always manages to get great artists. Like, he's got Eric Canetti on that.
Yep.
And then this book is just... It's big. It's big in every way, and it's called the Celestial Edition. It's a Godland. And
it must be good, because I'm shocked. This is, on paper, you should hate this book.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that is why, you know, that's the thing about it. Like, and that's why I think that the first time I read through the trade, I was probably not defensive, but I was just sort of a little dismissive beforehand. So when I went through and I read this one, I went in with more of an open mind, and I just found myself totally getting swept away with it and having fun with it, because it does have that little cynical edge that gives me the modern sensibility that I like to have in my comics.
Right.
But at the same time, is mixing it with just huge concepts and big in the, you know, everything's just big. It's just a big book, and it's kind of a crime that this isn't. I feel like this should be getting more play, and I'd really like to see if people go pick out. You don't have to necessarily go buy this big edition that's like $35 list. But, you know, go find – I bet you can find the back issues. You can buy the trades or whatever.
Yeah.
I'd like to see more people think about it.
Yeah, totally.
So it's basically, there's a superhero and there's a villain and there's a fight. I mean, it's not like it's
it's bigger than that. There are multiple supervillains. There's a mystery
right,
about how
I mean,
how
it's just like it's a straight-up superhero book, and that people, you know, it's not going to be like people sitting around talking for 48
pages.
God,
no.
Oh, no. There's a lot of action. And they're great characters, so
it's like big action. There's a giant alien pyramid floating towards Manhattan that's going to destroy it, and like he's got to get there in time. And there's a fight going on inside it, but there's a fight going on somewhere else, and it's just it's like really edge of your seat sort of action, very classic in a good way. And then it's behind, it's like Adam Archer is like, what am I? What am I here for? And there's this huge, you know, celestial, you know, underpinning of it all, like the fourth world kind of stuff. Like, it's just big. I mean, big. Big is the word. Bigosity. Big. You know, that my review. It's everything about this book is big. And it never lets up. It only gets bigger.
Awesome.
So that's Godland the Celestial Edition. It's from who? Who's the publisher?
It's Image.
Thomas Joe Casey.
Tom Scioli, Richard Starkings on the letters. I think Bill Crabtree and Nick Filardi on the colors. Colors are great in this book. They fit it. They fit perfectly. You know, it's a great book. If that all sounds interesting to you, it's better than we described it. It's a really good book to start off with because it's something that has been out there that we haven't talked about.
Yeah, and it's. I mean, honestly, like I was skeptical as well, and I was blown away by it. I had a lot of fun reading it. So.
I think that the skepticism probably runs. I'm guessing that's caught up with a lot of people, and so I think it'd be good if we can push them over the edge.
If we can quell that. So cool, excellent.
Well, I'm excited for it. I'm gonna go get it.
So the first book of the month in the can. Good job, Josh.
Thank you.
Awesome. So who has the next? Who has the next one? I forget.
I do.
All right, cool. I'm excited to read that.
It's not going to be a Batman book, just so everyone is...
Awesome.
He says that now.
No, I have it here on my desk right now. I'm not telling you what it is, but it's not a Batman book.
He's done all the Batman books already.
Triptych Books was founded in early 2006 by three friends. Wait a minute. Who had a desire to bring new life to the industry of pen and paper role-playing games. At www.triptychbooks.com, you can find the introductory kit with the first two games as a free downloadable PDF, as well as a welcoming forum, entertaining t-shirts, and all that stuff. You can find them at this year's WonderCon in San Francisco. If you're going to be there, stop by and say hi at their booth. Triptych Books, games as they should be. That's T-R-I-P-T-Y-C-H books.
And they're working on some great cool role-playing games, and they really love role-playing games, so it's cool to see that kind of passion going into it.
So if you're going to be in San Francisco, check them out. They're three friendly dudes.
Awesome. A lot more fun than you would probably think. You know, the video games are one thing, but, you know, watch that last episode of Freaks and Geeks. It's fun.
Awesome. All right, cool. So we're running a little long. We've had a lot to talk about, it's been a fun show. Let's dive into the email before we head out. Our first email comes from C. Kevin in Canada, also known as Luthor on ifanboy.com. He writes in saying, during the original Marvel DC miniseries, there were rumors that Marvel and DC were planning on swapping two characters for a year, leading to a Marvel DC 2. The swap never happened, but I always thought it was an interesting idea. In your opinions, currently, which two characters, one from Marvel and one from DC, would be best suited to exist in the other reality for an extended period of time? And I'm going to hand this one off to Connor.
Why?
Because I think the answer is obvious.
This is Joe Case at a panel we were at in New York Comic Con. Somebody asked this question to the Marvel panel: who would they like to see from the DC? Was it in New York? Which con was that?
It might have been.
So many cons. But the clear answer from the panel was Batman was the one character they would like to see in the Marvel Universe. He probably fits that grim and gritty style the most. I think.
I don't think he'd put up with that shit.
No.
You know? He's probably the most realistic kind of DC character out there. Yeah, so.
I think Superman needs to go there and kick the shit out of the Sentry and just end that.
who from Marvel goes to DC?
Either way, you send a Sentry.
Okay, then.
Send us somewhere.
Please. Well, just
the Sentry is the most DC-like character.
Yeah. How about Ghost Rider?
Yeah, send him to Vertigo.
I think Ghost Rider, you could do a really good Vertigo book like that. Yeah. He kind of fits in like with like the Dead Man and the...
Yeah, he does. To me,
like, DC has more of a, like, you know, with the Spectre.
The horror side of things.
Yeah, he really fits in that more than he does in the Marvel, because the Marvel horror stuff is sort of fallen by the wayside.
Yeah, that's a good point. Very good point. So, cool. Excellent.
So Batman goes to Marvel, the Ghost Rider goes to DC, and Sentry's gotten rid of either way.
Awesome.
Clint Barry writes and says, why do you guys loathe the Hulk so much? Anytime there's a new Hulk series, i.e. World War Hulk, Planet Hulk, the new Jeff Loeb series, etc., you guys immediately tear into it before giving it a chance. Now, Ron, you have been the more forgiving of the three, so I'll give you some credit.
Thank you.
The Hulk, in my opinion, represents that good old-fashioned fun that comics should bring. I don't always want some deep meaning attached to my comics. They are meant to be fun, often cartoony, and sometimes something that from time to time I'll pick up to shut my brain off. Connor and Ron, like the two of you, I have been Batman and X-Men fans for long years, but even they have had some terrible years in their history. Why do you guys always look down on the Hulk character and everything the book represents?
Why do you hate the Hulk so much?
Number one, this is another example of one person giving an opinion and it being ascribed to all three of us.
Yes.
It's also, overstating my opinion a good deal.
Josh hates the Hulk.
We all know this.
This has been explained many times. He hates the Hulk and all of his fans.
Awesome.
And women. No, I don't hate the Hulk. I just don't care. I've read a bunch of Hulk stories and I've never been interested in it. When it comes to us bashing on World War Hulk, it's because it was bad.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
At the end of it, pretty much consensus all around is that no one really liked World War Hulk. It was disappointing. I gave it a shot. I just don't find the Hulk terribly interesting. I never have. I don't even think it's been bad. I hear the Peter David run on the Hulk is amazing, and I've heard some of the plot. You know, some of the plots that he went through that just sounded great, but, you know.
I love the Hulk. I've always said I love the Hulk as a character, as a concept. My problem is I don't have a lot of interest in the modern-day Hulk for whatever reason. I think just the way they write him. I like the Hulk as a force of nature, and I like the Hulk as an angry beast and an examination of the inner demons that everybody's got inside them, but I don't necessarily like the modern Hulk. And I also feel like maybe it's possible that Peter David did kind of end the character.
Yeah.
You know, like he kind of told everything that I think could be possibly that's interesting about the character. And having read most of that, it's kind of like, well, there's not a lot left to do with him.
Right.
I think it's also got to be very difficult to make the Hulk work in concert with the modern Marvel Universe, because if he's so unstoppable, then you've always got to think of an artificial way to stop him.
Nobody's ever said he's unstoppable. That's the Juggernaut.
All right, well, then you just put the Juggernaut up against the Hulk every time and your problem's solved.
Awesome. But just don't poke him in the eye, that's all.
Oh, you can't put a shield down like the NFL running backs have on their eye.
So,
reading the current Hulk stories?
I'm reading Red Hulk, just because I can't stay away from a car wreck.
Calling it a car?
Yeah, I'm calling it a car wreck. I don't know if it will be a car wreck or not, but it has potential to be a car wreck, so I'm right there. I'm right there on the sideline. I don't know. I mean, like the thing with Hulk is that Hulk is a tough one for me. I like Connor, like you said, I like the idea. I just, for some reason, I can't get into it. I've never been able to get into it, but I love it when he's in like a big story that I'm reading. So, I like the fact that the Hulk exists. I'm not necessarily,
he's a good spice character. You know, he's someone you drop in to add spice to the story, but not necessarily you don't want to follow every month.
Yeah.
Although I have for many years bought Hulk comics. I just haven't bought them in a while because I keep trying them. And Bruce Jones did a good first year.
Oh God, do you remember the Bruce Jones tease?
It was really good for 12 issues, and then it got really, really bad really fast. But it's, even that first 12 issues, the Hulk was hardly in it. It was more about the threat of the Hulk than anything.
Yeah.
Which is probably the best way to use him. So I don't hate the Hulk. Josh does. He hates you, Clint Barry, and he hates women.
Fantastic. So if you've got anything to say about that, you can email us at contact@ifanboy.com.
Josh, how do you feel about gays?
Okay, so the stop. That was the emails, contact@ifanboy.com. We're going to skip the voicemails this week because we got still more to talk about. We are on the eve of WonderCon in San Francisco. Next weekend is WonderCon.
I'm not ready.
And Josh and Connor are going to fly out from New York, and I'm going to walk four blocks. So, but it's really exciting because we got a lot of fun stuff to cover for WonderCon. So if you're going to WonderCon, the panel, there's going to be a Comic Podcasters Extravaganza panel featuring us as well as some of the guys from Comic Geek Speak, Around Comics, and Leany from I Read Comics. It's at 1:30 on Saturday. So you definitely want to check that out. So the panel's at 1:30. I forget what room it's in, but if you're going to WonderCon, it's in the schedule, so you can check that out. But what's even cooler is that we're once again, second year in a row, co-sponsoring the weekend's worth of parties at the Isotope Comics Lounge. And so Friday night, February 22nd, we're going to be throwing a little party there with Ben Templesmith and Anthony Johnston. That's pretty cool.
Anthony.
Anthony.
No, I heard that too. Anthony.
And on Saturday, the big event at WonderCon is the premiere of the New Frontier movie. Darwin Cook's great story, great, you know, DC Absolute Edition story that we all love. So after you go see the movie at WonderCon, head over to Isotope for the official New Frontier premiere after party featuring J-Bone, David Bullock, the director, and Darwin Cook. So we're super excited for that. Head over to iFanboy.
To meet Darwin Cook?
Yeah, Darwin Cook's going to be there.
Awesome.
So head over to ifanboy.com. There's going to be a post up with all this information, as well as the bitchin' flyers for these parties. And when you see the New Frontier flyer, you're going to die. So that's all I got to say.
So. All right, listen up, punks. Doing this website, everything, it's not cheap. So if you want to buy any stuff, go to ifanboy.com/store and buy the books there if you want. Or if you want to go to Amazon through there and buy stuff, then you'll help us out and you won't have to do a damn thing. Or you could go to www.netflix.com/ifanboy if you wanted to sign up for a Netflix account starting at $4.99. That would also help us out. So get on that.
And as you heard earlier in the show, you can go to ifanboy.com for all the new stuff we got there. Pick of the week, book of the month, pull lists, reviews, exciting things happening there. Paul Dini and Jonathan Hickman, Gordon the intern, everybody's there now. So go check it out.
And make sure you register and join the fun. And you can also join the fun by checking out our video show. Every Saturday, a new episode of iFanboy, the video show, comes out. And you can also catch that at revision3.com/iFanboy. This past week, you saw us go back into the vault and pick some of our favorite comics from our libraries. And next week, we got a little show about the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen featuring a Mr. Kevin O'Neill. So that should be a fun one to watch. So
I'm going to go finish that up right now. And when I finish it, I'll be wearing my iFanboy t-shirt, which is what I wear at all times now. And I got it from going to jinx.com/iFanboy. If you send in a picture of yourself wearing the shirt to jinx.com, you get free stickers and you'll go up on the site, and then that's good. And then you can send us that too, and maybe we'll do something for you. Maybe. I'm not promising anything because I don't like it.
You can send us an email at contact@ifanboy.com. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-FANBOYS, which is 326-2697. Call comments, questions, concerns, discussion topics, website bugs, all that stuff.
And usually we talk about how you could be our friend on the various sites, but now just go to ifanboy.com and click on About Us, or go to ifanboy.com/about, and you can see all the links to MySpace, Facebook, all that, you know, all the fun social, Twitter, all that kind of stuff, and you could be our friend there. So one place, one-stop shopping. We list all the iFanboy ones as well as all of our personal links, so go over to ifanboy.com/about and be our friend.
I think Gordon's bio paints us in an unflattering light.
Well, he's been holding that stuff in for a long time.
It's coming out.
You know, and we're hosting it, and that's just not – anyway, I'm going to have a talk with him, and if you know what I mean by talk.
Uh-oh.
So if you like the show, go over to iTunes and write a review for the video show or the audio show. But even better than that, if you just you tell friends about it, or you talk about it on message boards, or do whatever you do, thank you very much for letting people know about the show and spreading the word.
We appreciate it.
iFanboy.com 3.0 is one of the first things you're going to see that's coming out of the donations you send in to go ifanboy.com/donations. We've got a lot of stuff coming up, and that's all you're all helping directly to get that, make the stuff possible. So if you feel like you like the show and want to help out, ifanboy.com/donations.
Yes, we really appreciate it, and we can't overestimate the amount of help that everybody's given us in getting this stuff done and out the door. So, and it's all for you, so everybody wins. So
yeah, we do have fun with it. I mean, that's
yeah. Yeah, totally.
Strippers aren't cheap.
They're not. Servers are not cheap.
Oh, strippers.
Oh, strippers. Oh, I was saying servers, but either way.
Let's see where your mind is and where my mind is.
Okay.
Not a first. Boy, that was a week.
That was a week indeed.
I mean, that was a week. That was maybe the most weak week of the history of iFanboy.
That was a rough week, but we survived, and hopefully we're better off for it. I need a nap, though.
Everybody who was around for the impromptu live chat while we were building the new site, thank you for stopping by. That was fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and maybe we'll do something like that again in the future. You never know. So yeah.
We're not promising. We're not putting a date on it. We're certainly not putting up a cryptic post about it.
we learned our lesson.
I haven't shaved since then, by the way.
Neither have I.
You haven't? I was going to ask. Are you still both?
No, I'm shaving tomorrow. So
so you will be for WonderCon.
I will be my normal looking feel.
I'm considering leaving it. I'm going to see how far I can push it.
Really?
I'm not shaving again.
Wow.
This is like,
awesome. See how far past E you can go in the car. I'm going to see
this
how far.
This is easily the farthest I've ever made it, and it's awesome.
Wow.
I'm impressed. People are like, you look great, Josh. I was like, well, what does that mean I look like before?
12.
All right. Well, until next week, if we make it, I'm Ron.
Connor.
And as you learned at the beginning of the show, I'm Josh, but you won't be hearing from me again, Tom, you prick.
It's been a fun run, Josh. Thank you.
Shut up.